Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dum Dums and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing four weekly podcasts, Dum Dums and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as four event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals, Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dum Dums and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dum Dums and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome to One Shots, a Dum Dums and Dice podcast where professional voiceover actors and improvisers tackle one-shot stories created in a variety of hit RPGs. I'm your host, DJ One Shot, and I'm here to welcome you to Pick Me, a Trophy Dark Incursion. This special holiday arc features our GM, Tom McGee. Players Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth, along with special guests Guy Bradford and Claire Blackwood. What happens when the Dum Dums become toys competing to be a child's favorite on Christmas? Nobody knows, cause it's One Shot! Pick Me Edition.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pick Me, a Trophy Dark Incursion by Brian Sego. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Trophy, Trophy is a beautiful, beautiful system that got kickstarted by handsome folks like me earlier this year. It is powered by the Apocalypse system, but has been kind of tweaked a bunch. And it is, I think, probably my favorite roleplay system of all the ones I've played with. It's got such an interesting flavor and tone, and so much of it is baked right in, which is great. And it's also really powered by the community, which is wonderful. The books they're releasing have what are known as incursions in them. Written by community members. It's got a huge thriving community, and it's so user and player friendly, which is part of the reason I love it. And it's something that you'll gradually be seeing, I think, more and more of from us here at Dum Dums. You may have encountered Trophy once before. We did do a one shot, an attempted live one shot a long time ago with Claire Blackwood. That was a lot of fun, aside from like the 3 hours of tech hijinks that preceded it. Regardless, it's a wonderful system. And this one I'm particularly excited about because Pick Me is a Christmas-themed incursion. So we're going to jump into it in just a few minutes. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Trophy or Powered by the Apocalypse, it's a 2d6 system. So nice and simple. Basically, the way the system works, if you know Monster of the Week or Blades in the Dark, all those are Powered by the Apocalypse. But basically, it's a 2d6 system. So for any time a character is trying to do something that involves risking either their mental well-being or their physical well-being, we go to the dice. So for a lot of the narrative stuff, we don't need to roll, which is admittedly kind of how we do things on Dum Dums and Dice anyway. But when you roll, essentially one or two, it's a fumble. It went real bad. And as the GM, I'll describe what happened. If it is a, 3 to 4, Good news, it worked, but there's a complication. So I'll explain, I'll have you explain, players, what you did, how it succeeded, and then I'll add the complication. Or if it's, depending on the kind of role, I might explain the complication first, and then you tell me how you succeed with that complication. It's a lot of what we do with the Genesis system as well. All of it's just, again, figuring out the interesting ways we can fail. If it's a 5 or 6, you fucking killed it. Great work. You just get to tell me how you did it, how cool it was. And I get to be like, oh man, I can't stop you. I don't ever have dice. Dice don't exist for me. The major tools at my disposal are moves that I can take against you if you fuck up with your dice. So we'll keep an eye out for those. The other system in play is, of course, the Devil's Bargain. I stole the Devil's Bargain from Blades in the Dark, which in turn took it from, I believe, Powered by the Apocalypse. They may have been the first to introduce it. Regardless, it's baked in here. I'll offer them like crazy. And basically, the Devil's Bargain will allow you to add an additional dice to your dice pool. But it comes at a cost. The other thing that's worth noticing or paying attention to in this is something called Ruin. So Ruin is when you legitimately risk your mental and physical safety to try and accomplish your goal. So regardless, if it's something that we think actually needs dice, we'll go to the dice. But if you're like, I absolutely, the easiest example is if I need to reach into a box full of blades and pluck out a gem that's in the middle of it, that's a dangerous roll. So there will be risk associated with that. And I can kind of push it by adding more to it. So those dice are a different color. Traditionally, it's kind of a black and white dice thing. Players, if you don't have different colored dice, please just keep in mind which one is Ruin. It's a little bit similar to the hunger mechanic in Vampire the Masquerade. It's basically the dangerous piece that's kicking around. It'll be in almost all of your rolls.
Now, Tom, when you say it's a 2d6 system, you mean we are rolling 2 dice and choosing the highest number, correct?
It is a 1d6 system.
There we go.
The additional dice are, yes. So, for example, if you are adding risk or you've taken a Devil's Bargain, you can add additional dice to your rolls.
I think it's Devil's Bargain is a white die and Feature is a black die. Or what gives us the spooky dice, Tom?
So Devil's Bargain is good dice, just normal dice. Great. You're all good. Ruin is your spooky dice. So spooky dice can happen if something bad happens, but basically it's known as a risk roll. You can add a dark die to increase your odds of succeeding. But if that's the one that you succeed on, it's kind of a messy successy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, and we'll talk about that as we go. So, again, in my prior example, if I'm just trying to pluck this gem out of the dagger box and I don't actually care if I get it, I might not push that hard. I might be like doing that like thing where I'm like getting close, but if it seems dangerous, I just won't do it. If I'm like, I'm getting that fucking gem, if I'm Quinny and I'm like, I'm getting that fucking gem, you would add a risk dice on top. So my odds go up, but the odds of me taking damage or either mentally or physically rise. In the specific circumstances of Trophy, that means something a little bit different than some other games. So in some other games, that just might mean like, oh, my hand is bleeding, I lose a hit point, whatever. Trophy is a game of erosion and corruption. So it might just be that you are slowly succumbing to the spirit of Christmas or the whims of the child. In traditional Trophy, this means like the will of the forest is slowly overwhelming you. In this case, it's Christmas. once again, we'll touch on these whenever we go. But yes, essentially, when your character attempts a risky task, say what will happen and then gather six-sided dice. So you take one light-sided dice if the task is something your character would be able to do because of one of their skills. Take another light dice for Devil's Bargains and a dark die if you're willing to risk your character's mind or body in order to succeed. So you could theoretically have 3 dice to pick from on your highest result. But if it's that dark dice, your ruin will rise and yeah.
Spoopy Christmas.
Yeah. In Star Wars terms, it's like you start using the dark side and like slowly get the weird dark side veins from the video games that never show up in the movies.
And Tom, the other trophy rule that I remember really standing out is if we try to fight a monster, we die, right?
Generally speaking, yes. Okay. Now, again, Trophy normally has a bunch of monsters. Monsters aren't exactly a thing here, but the best way to think about this is that if you take a risk roll to try and defeat a monster, you die. So instead, you're willing to hide or to escape or to use a feature against it. again, the goal isn't like, I will fight this and I will win, because it's going to win. And that's the thing to know about Trophy. The child will win. None of you get to win, but one of you might get picked. So that'd be nice, maybe. So yes, don't think in traditional D&D, like I punch it rules. Think more so like, it's like fighting a shark. I'm going to punch it in the nose in the hopes that I can get away. Not that the punch will somehow kill the shark. It's going to make the shark angrier, but I might be able to leave from my extensive shark fighting background.
Yeah. I mean, we're all Canadian. We fought sharks.
Yeah, truly. It's the only way you pass kindergarten. Cool. So any other questions from the players before we get going? We also have special guests, Claire Blackwood and Guy Bradford, who will be cameoing in various places throughout the show.
So Tom, I was just double checking the rules. It's actually 1 to 3 we fail, 4 to 5 complication, and 6 succeeds. So our odds of success are low on one die.
Sounds like you should maybe risk some things then.
Ooh.
Ready to risk it.
Spooky. Ready to risk it
for the biscuit.
Don't do it.
all right. Okay. Okay. I won't.
Interesting. The toys never left Santa's workshop. Cool. Any other questions? Anything else on anyone's mind? Great.
I don't think so.
Nah.
Excellent. Then I'm going to...
just writing 1 to 3 bad, 4 to 5 okay, 6 good. That'll help my brain later. Go.
I'm getting a 6th sense of pleasure by using like the dice I used for Alan in 2099 for like the bad shit. I won't forget that.
All right, Tom, I think we're good then.
Fuck yeah. Then I'm going to just check the chat box one more time. We're good. All right. And on that note, we begin. Child, please to bed. I need my rest. I am grandma, not one to test. The man in red arrives so soon. Santa sees you, so bright the moon. The elves created all you desire. He left your gifts there by the fire. They say your heart has space for one. So dark, I pray that they are wrong. From yellow windows rimmed with frost I weep. This child is truly lost. The child must make a choice. Pick me! Toys, you will be the damned trophy. The child is hungry, jealous, greedy. The child wants and wants and wants. And in this, the season of material excess, the child shall have. Each of you is a toy, a perfect, wonderful gift that could make any child's heart sore. In this case, you are vying for the affection of one child who wants a few too many. So we begin in what's known as the first ring. All trophy games take place in 5 rings as we descend deeper and deeper, theoretically into the woods, but in this case, into the Christmas spirit. So we begin with a letter to Santa. Santa settles his weight into a rocking chair and lights a pipe and reaches into a massive stack of unread mail, taking a brief sip of hot cocoa from a rounded goblet that is a pale yellowish white with odd holes in it, very small, smaller than a goblet should be. But he lifts this fond vessel to his mouth, takes a sip, puffs his pipe, and takes a bone-handled letter opener and tears into a wish from the child. The handwriting is full of hope and want. Some of the letters are adorably reversed like a little scamp would. Some of the words are curved where the paper ends, if the child hadn't finished writing all they had to say. And the letter describes you, all of you. Santa, the man in red, looks at it, mutters under his breath as the smoke curls through his yellowed whiskers. Seems like more than one child can handle. But it's not Santa's place to say what the child's wants are. It is the child's, and those wants shall be met. So, my friends, in this particular arc, you don't exist just yet. You are an idea of the child committed to paper and thus transferred to the man in red. So What I want from this particular segment, in each ring, you'll encounter two types of things: terrors and temptations. Terrors, things that should drive you away. Temptations, things that'll draw you further and further towards the spirit of Christmas and the child. You are but an idea. Now, each of you has created a character already. I'm joined today by our core Dum Dums and Dice cast, Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth. Each of you has come up with a character, but you knew it wasn't going to be that simple, right? There will be complications. So you exist right now in your heads the way you exist in the child's, as the perfect version of yourself. So what I need from each of you first is, why does the child desire you, and what promise do you offer that no other toy can match? You don't need to describe this in character if you don't want to. You can describe it the kind of way we normally do, because again, you don't actually exist yet. You've yet to be built. So whoever wants to start, tell me, why does the child desire you?
I mean, I know why the child desires me, because I'm like the total package. I'm equal parts delicious, educational, and playful. So I don't know, like, what else you could want from a toy.
Excellent. Tyler, what are you?
I'm glad you asked, Tom.
I'm not.
No, that I come response. From the I come from the twisty toy line. Yeah. My customization is candy core. So I'm edible, and I am William Howard Taffy, the edible toy made of taffy shaped like the 27th president of the United States of America.
God, I love you so much. Give me that name again.
William Howard Taffy.
Beautiful.
So I've got his wiki page open for in case I need it. So I don't know anything about this guy.
Excellent. All right. Stay with that for a moment. Because now that I've heard what you are, I'm ever so curious to hear about your fears. So stand by. Laura.
So I think what I provide the child is just like that sense of comfort. I'm someone who like really knows how to listen and you know, basically tell the child that like, we're in this together and you're going to get through everything.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. What are you?
I'm 2020 Barbie.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
So like, she's kind of like, she's got like a whole bunch of like pieces and add-ons that she can have. So she's got like the assembly required, toy line. She's also, she weeps a lot. Because you know, like that's part of like having empathy, you know. She's gonna cry with that child. But you know, she's also has like kind of like the fear that we all have, and she has a porcelain gaze that she can turn on. So she's got like a beautiful like pink blouse with like a blazer on the top. She's got like chocolate stained sweats on the bottom. She's got like masks, hand sanitizer, like an I voted sticker. She's got a cell phone with like her therapist number on speed dial. She's got a sourdough starter. She's got a ring light, and she has all of it in a go bag on her back because the apocalypse could really hit at any time.
Is in progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 2020 Barbie. Love it. And Ryan.
Yeah. So the child would want my toy because everyone wants, you know, a taste of family. Everyone wants just a comforting thing that's been with them their whole life, but they also want something just a little bit different, you know, something that won't be exactly what everyone else has. Which is why, my character is Morky Mouse, a Chinese knockoff of a famous mouse that looks just like him, except one eye is a googly eye and the other eye is painted on. Like, it's one of those figures you can like spin the arms, but that's about it. And the face is a little bit off. So it's obviously he's a cuddly, you know, he's a little bit furry. He's got a little squeak to him if you squish him. He's also a knockoff, which makes him a snob. Morky believes he is superior to everything else and that corporate dominance is important. And he has his own family, or as they might be known on the trophy sheet, expendable sidekicks. his girlfriend, Minky, and his dog, Gorfy.
Amazing.
Gorfy.
So I think it's safe to say the child was thinking of the famous mouse, but he's getting this. Would that be a fair...
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Maybe there was a typo in the letter. You know, well, kids don't spell very good, so it became exactly what was asked for.
Fair enough. Okay. Like, we will absolutely get there. Yeah, okay, good. So, you are going to be built in the workshop. The idea of all of you is so clear in the child's mind. Perhaps they've never seen the original mouse and they think Morky's the only option. So the good news is all of you are from established toy lines. The elves know what's up. They know how to build you. But there's something horrible, fundamentally about existing only to serve the purpose of another being, to only have value in the eyes of the child. Because if you fail to live up to this platonic ideal of each of you, if you're not the perfect Tafty, Barbie, or Morky Mouse, they might not love you. And then what do you even exist for? So each of you is burdened by fears, as we all are. So I would like you to address what your fears might be. Some examples might include fear of being unwanted. How might you fall short of the child's desires? Fear of being second best. How might you be inadequate as a toy? What are the features you're missing? If there's a cool karate chop action G.I. Joe and you're just the regular G.I. Joe, are you really that cool? Or do you fear the man in red who is even now starting to form you within his vast, ancient, unknowable intellect in a way that the elves will be able to conceive of? Or is it something else entirely? So for each of you, we know what promise you offer, but what are you most afraid of? Tyler, we'll start with you.
Well, Woodrow Wilson, first of all.
That's a serious rap
from that. Yeah,
you win. Tyler wins. I've given it to him. The child picked him. We're good.
I think
Woodrow Wilson. My God.
I think William Howard Taft would be afraid of getting dirty or filth in general, because that's like he's lost like so much of his potential in that way. Since he is a candy core,
a
consumable treat or toy, to be dirtied or sullied in any way would really, I think, be bad news for him.
Cool. Okay. So then something I want you to keep in mind, Tyler, as we run this adventure, is just how far you'll go to avoid becoming dirty. I think that's a wonderful thing for him to be obsessed with, because you're absolutely right. It, you know, it's like buying a pair of white shoes. It's like such a fucking good idea in the store, and then you walk outside the store and you're like, the world is filth.
You become Howard Hughes.
Exactly. So great, that's fantastic. Please keep that in mind. Laura, what is 2020 Barbie's fear?
I think other than like COVID and the end of the world, really her fear is like, I think the other Barbies not letting her be released, because I think she gets the sense that they think she's gonna like sully their reputation of the whole Barbie line.
Yeah, I like that. I wonder if there's something to the idea, Laura, that since you are such a specific Barbie, that you might actually
be almost obsolete from the minute you're made.
Like, I might, yeah, like I'm very temporary, and
you know,
I'm just a fad.
Yeah, it's like buying like a Coney 20 whatever shirt and be like, haha, this is gonna be a great joke forever. And then everyone's like, wait, what? And you're like, oh, I didn't need this shirt. This was a weird fad in the internet that doesn't matter. Okay, great. I love that. So fear of becoming obsolete, but also a fear that the other Barbies won't accept you. Very, very cool. All right. And last but certainly not least, Morky Mouse.
Terrified of entering the public domain. okay, no, that's not it though. I think actually Morky is scared of essentially obsolescence. Like, what if, because Morky's a classic, but what if the new toys are the actual favorites? Like, what if they've got more bells and whistles and that's what wins out? Because Morky's just got, you know, 700 years of copyright and is very memorable.
So by that logic and kind of following the progenitor DNA of where Morky comes from, is the assumption that in Morky's mind, like, he's been around forever and he's very popular, he's evergreen, but he's also evergreen and has been around forever. Like, there's nothing special about a Morky Mouse. You can get those everywhere. They're hidden in every movie.
How could he compete with the 2020 whatever? He's still the 1934 Morky Mouse.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Great. Okay.
I think he's not looking that current. Gorfie's an idiot.
Yeah, okay, great, love it. Now, as anyone who's looked at my credit card statement lately and based on how many times I've been hacked this year, probably all of you have, you'll know Christmas is a time of great spending. Just excessive and stupid spending. There are temptations everywhere. Sometimes you buy video games of a cyberpunkly nature and then return them. Anything's possible at Christmas. There are temptations at this time of year. Those temptations can be excessive food, drink, purchasing, but also ego, taking up all the space at a family gathering, insisting on yourself at these places, indulging a racist uncle. there are temptations everywhere. So the child requested you, specifically you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? How are you filled with hope? Tyler, we'll start with you.
I'm filled with hope that after educating the child and enriching the child, giving the child joy, I will then get to be consumed by the child and we will become one.
Yep.
As the original Howard Taft wanted.
Amazing. All right, love it.
That was his campaign slogan. It was just consume me.
Yeah, that's right. Consume me and we will become one, America.
Yeah, it was a big fucking button, particularly for back then. It was
He actually gave out taffy.
He had to stop though after there were so many complaints. 2020 Barbie, how are you filled with hope?
I think there's a part of me that, despite my fear of becoming obsolete, I also think that, is it Mattel? Is Barbie Mattel?
Sure, yeah. Is.
I'm hopeful that Mattel will kind of like bring hope into people's lives and build like a line of like PPE and like a vaccination like accessories that can then be put on 2020 Barbie, just so like people can like evolve with the time and their 2020 Barbie.
Interesting. So you're basically, I love that because you're tying your hope into your greatest fear, which is my greatest fear is that I am of the moment, but because I'm a Barbie, I might be customizable enough that I can survive.
Yeah.
That's both dark and wonderful. I love it. Great. And finally, Morky Mouse, how are you filled with hope? And something I think, and I'm only getting to this now, and I apologize, I should have thought of this earlier, and I've lost my pen. You have disposable companions with you, so I'd also like to hear... I'm going to make you jump through some hoops, but we've been at this long enough. Fine. I think you can do it. It's not necessarily what they actually think or feel. What does Morky think theirs are?
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Hey, friends. It's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right. That address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
Because you're playing Morky, not them. So to begin with, what's Morky's fear?
Morky's fear, I think it ties back into his thing. With, like, his hope is that because he's a classic, he's undeniable. Nobody else has, you know, 70 years of history
right.
with the greatest factory next to the actual factory of the product in the world. He thinks that's going to get him over the finish line. And his other hope is that he's got these two dopes that he can just shove down a well if that's what takes to get across the finish line. You know, he's got a team that he's ready to throw down a well. He's ready.
With that in mind, then, do you think you would care what their hopes and or fears are?
I think both of them just want to be a happy family with Morky. Like, I feel like they were poorly written on the box. So, like, they just exist to be like, we're going to be friends. We're going to be a family with this kid.
Oh, I love that.
The child, I think, is going to be the grandpa. They think of Morky as dad.
I've mentioned this a few times. There's a wonderful CGI show reboot where it's a bunch of people who live in a computer, and the user who is us is their weird, like, demon god who drops games on them. And there's a whole series of, like, people trying to help, and they just suck at it. So they're like, we will help you. We will make your boots go faster. He's like, get off my fucking boots. I got to run. And they're like, we're helping. I feel like they're just that for you. They just, like, theoretically, if you didn't want to be chosen, you could actually have a really nice life with Minky and Gorfy. But you just got to fly too close to the sun with those waxen wings. Okay, I love that. Any final thoughts before you are made? All right, excellent. The man in red finishes sipping his cocoa from the oddly and specifically shaped goblet and places it down in a huff, takes one last long drag off his pipe and just does a full Gandalf, like, blows smoke out through his nose and mouth at the same time. But when Ian McKellen does it, it's like really charming and awesome. This just looks like exhaust being consumed by the car that created it. And
off is played by Brian Cox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Succession level Brian Cox. With an ancient creaking, the man in red stands, looks at the letter, and in a low snarl just says, it's on you now, elves, and tosses the letter into the fire, where, like all the other letters before, it bursts into a delightful red and green sparkly mist, And slowly that mist spirals up through the chimney, out onto the air, and drifts down from Santa's palatial mansion on the gentle, chilling breeze of the North Pole into the elven labor camps, where the sound of tools clanging metal and a slow, sad dirge can be heard. On the air, the elves in one voice, one defeated, rather tired voice, sing, "Tink, tink, toy maker. Tink, toy maker, tink. Work that chisel with vigor, toy maker, because toy maker keep on making." As they just continue their endless struggle of fulfilling the wishes of good little children, like the one who desires you. From the minute your essence shimmering through the sky is sucked down into an ancient growling vacuum. We're talking like the things you'd use in like a Brave Little Toaster movie to be the villain. Just these dirty industrial heavy metal instruments. Suddenly the charm and beauty of drifting through the air instead becomes like a modern times Buster Keaton nightmare as you're pulled through gears through a sooty vent that for some reason has a single discarded small shoe in it and sucked out into Camp 01A5, where you will become toys. Welcome to Ring 2, the workshop. This is the moment of your creation. I'll ask the three of you to give reason to your nature. How do these features come together? We have discussed what each of you are in theory, but of course the magic of the Christmas elven labor camps is that you are built individually. None of you are coming off a factory line because you're Christmas toys, goddammit, and that makes you special. So keeping in mind the team of elves that is slowly assembling you as the green glow and aura of their tiny lamps casts light upon it, describe what the process of coming into being feels like for you. And then I'm going to want to hear in your character voice the first thought that you have as a sentient creature. Let's go in reverse order this time. Morky, we'll start with you.
I think, because it's like, I think he ends up being made of like a rubberized compound. So first it's just like molds being created. It's like the idea is just being formed in a room and the smoke is just kind of like solidifying and flowing around. And then they put it together and heat something up and it just bubbles a little bit. It's like feeling bubbles. And then it pours into this mold and it's there and it's just kind of solid and it's different. And then there's just like some three sharp moments of pain as the two arms are separated from the body and the head is separated so that it can turn. It's just like, ah. They pull it away and the toy just kind of falls out directly on his face. It's like, oh, I made it.
Excellent. I love that. Laura, how does 2020 Barbie come to be?
I think I think what happens is like she kind of feels like kind of a weird, like something clicks into place, kind of like at her neck, and she's just like, just kind of like, oh, I'm alive. And then like, oh, I'm alive, as like she feels like her arms and legs being like snapped on as like the pieces are coming into place.
Right. I love that you have like the opposite experience of Morky, who's like, they built me as one thing and then cut them off, and you're like being assembled like a fucking like Megazord.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh good. Sorry, I cut you off. What were you gonna say?
No, that's pretty much it.
It's
just like, oh, hopeful, like, oh, this is consciousness. And then like, oh god, this is consciousness.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Tyler, what is the formation of Tafty?
I think it's that magical essence being sucked into this machine and kind of pumped through a series of bellows and things like that, and being mixed with like or suffused with some sort of like sugary edible paint, and then just kind of shotgun blasted onto a stretched out wad of boiling sugar as it's then like constantly threaded and kneaded. And so there's just kind of like horrifying animalistic screaming as I'm brought to life in a completely disfigured and unrecognizable form, and then slowly assembled into a vaguely presidential shape.
Guy Bradford, as the elf who is slowly forcing Tafty together, what's your kind of mantra as you make this tasty, tasty president?
How can I add more pain? Donovan, where's the acids?
Oh, sorry, boss. They're in the back. Hang on.
Okay.
So Donovan runs to get the acids as you continue. Guy, what's the name of your weird pain elf?
Just Rory. Rory's a really shitty name for a little Hellraiser kid. So just Rory.
Right. So Rory the pain elf continues to spin Tafty together.
Oh.
Tafty, what is your first sentiment or first thought as you come to life?
Just the relief of the process of my making coming to an end. Just the screaming subsides into like a sigh. Like, oh, that's better. and then I'm fine.
Rory, how do you feel when the toy is actually built, given that your joy seems to be the pain of the process?
You know, repeat the question.
Yeah, no worries. But, given that your greatest joy is causing pain to toys you're making, I imagine it's got to be a bit of a letdown when the toy's actually made.
Yeah, the journey is better than the destination, really, when it comes to this vocation of mine. Oh, wait, almost forgot his presidential bow tie. And then I just get...
just jab it into his neck.
A little pain pin associated with the bow tie?
Yeah, it's just a cute little candy bow tie.
Rory contains multitudes. Yeah. You know, he's not just the pain elf. He's also a sartorially intelligent elf. Okay, I love it. Fantastic. So the three of you come into consciousness as the finishing touches are added to each of you, whether it's accessories or paint jobs, adorable bow ties. But of course, with a populous force to work in the mystical, cheerful Christmas labor camps, things go wrong in the creation of all three of you. So I need a ruin roll from each of you, please. Now, each of you has what's known as a ruin score. Ruin is how much you've succumbed to the whims of the child or to Christmas spirit in general. Once you reach a ruin of 6, I'm the captain now. Your character becomes an NPC under my control, and bad news bears. All of you will have a ruin of 1 to begin. However, as I know one of you specifically, Tyler, has already done, you can take additional advantages by giving yourself higher ruin. So similar to our Call of Cthulhu games, your goal is to roll under your ruin, or you add more ruin. So actually, Tyler, you're in a good position to not get fucked by this.
We'll see. Whereas, it might just be an early night for me.
You're so sweet, Morky and Barbie.
So if I have a ruin of 3, which I do, because I have 2 expendable sidekicks, I need to roll under 3 or 3 or less?
Well, I'll give you 3 or less.
Okay.
We'll be generous because it's the second ring. We've got a few to go.
Dope. Rolled a 1. Morky's doing all right.
Great.
So... Tom, sorry, remind me what I'm rolling?
Just 1? You're rolling a single D6 of your spooky future Alan sad dice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is your ruin right now?
2.
2, okay. So you want to be a 2 or less. So 2 or a 1.
Okay. I got a 5.
Excellent. So
it's higher than 2.
It is, it is. I may be bad
at
math.
Like a 2, but it's not.
But I got that down.
So 2020 Barbie, unfortunately, there is a manufacturing defect in the creation of you. Tafti, what did you roll?
I rolled a 3, so I'm safe because my ruin is 4.
All right. So, Laura, go ahead and roll me a D6, please, to determine what goes wrong.
Okay. 5 again.
Okay, fantastic. Claire, you are blister pack elf, and your job is to put all good 2020 toys in their appropriate toy packaging. What did you do wrong when you were putting 2020 Barbie in her 2020 Barbie box?
Oh gosh.
And what's your name?
The name's Frank. You know, I don't have the best eyesight, and well, I gave her the wrong emotional support animal in the box.
Okay, what emotional support animal was supposed to be in the box, and what did she get?
It was supposed to be a nice little puppy, but she got a porcupine. I'm real sorry about that, miss.
Which also means that some kid who's looking forward to, like, kind of banal animal box is going to get, like, a dog instead of a porcupine, which will be greatly disappointing.
Wow.
Frank, the blister pack elf, is your deal that you, like, should wear glasses and refuse to? Like, you said your eyesight's bad. Like,
it's just Santa wears glasses and he's got the monopoly on that, so I'm not allowed.
Oh, damn. Okay. Very good. So you stuff that in 2020 Barbie. You realize as your smooth leg is jabbed by spikes that your adorable support canine is not in here. What do you say to Frank as he closes the box?
I think it's just like a horror of like why would you do this to me?
Frank, do you say anything?
Enough.
Or do you close the box?
I just say, enjoy your dog, and close the box.
Such is life in the labor camp. Okay. So having been forced into being, the three of you end up in a pile that's clearly going to be sorted. We've now entered the wacky sorting phase to get you all ready. 2020 Barbie, we've established that you do have a box that you will need to get back into in order to be properly loaded on the sleigh, but you can get out and walk around. You're not just stuck in a blister pack.
Well, that's nice.
The whole ride. Essentially, the way to think of this is Toy Story rules apply in that to be picked by the child, you have to pretend you're a toy on Christmas Day, which is ring 5, our grand finale. Till then, you got a lot of leeway. We will assume that all of your packages are wrapped in some way, unless you feel like you wouldn't have packaging. Tafti, I think your packaging would be pretty important to you because it's the one place you can guarantee you will not get dirty. Morky, Darzny's pretty good at just like sticking a tag somewhere on the toy, unless you're like a weird, slightly lumpier action figure because they're not as good at making action figures as other action figure companies. I collect a lot of action figures. What do you think Morky's packaging looks like?
So I think, yeah, if Morky was on his own, it would just be a sticker. But I think because it's Morky and Minky and Gorfy, it's one of those, like, they do those, like, horizontal boxes with, like, 3 figures with a clear plastic front where they're, like, strapped into their pose or whatever. So he's in the middle, you know, Morky's front and center. And then Minky's off to the side being kind of cute but weird. And Gorfy is crazy off to the left.
It occurs to me we should probably take a second here to, we know what Morky looks like. Can you describe Minky and Gorfy, please?
Yeah, Minky is accidentally 3 times the size of Morky. As though they had taken like a molded, like a wrestling figure and just put Morky's head on Minky as well.
Yep.
And then Gorfy, is very clearly, one of the like, nativity scene camels, But also with a Morky head. Like, they've done just a three head on three different toys that were not correctly put together, and that's the set.
Man, I was going to try and bring in some, like, Sid from Toy Story bullshit later, but, I mean, you beat me to the body horror, man. Congrats. Rock and roll. That's fucked. The three and a half, I'm not going to count them as individual characters. The three and a half of you actually have a moment together. So here's a weird thing. You all know you will be picked by the child. You also, weirdly, having been... created through this mystical process, have an awareness of the man in red. He exists very large in your minds, even though you've never met him, because he was born, you were born of his brain. He exists very clearly to you. The three of you know, we'll say there is a security elf who wanders by. Guy, what does the security elf look like? Who would play him in a movie?
It'd be Ron Howard. No, Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub. Okay, great. What's security elf's name?
Tony Shalhoub. It's just Tony Shalhoub.
Excellent. Yeah, his rank is monk. Tony Shalhoub elf walks by, explains that tomorrow morning, later tonight, I guess, because it's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow morning. What the fuck am I doing? Stupid D&D brain trying to make days. In an hour, you will have to be at the Candy Cane Concourse for the sleigh ride, where you will be brought to the home of the child. And around you, there are various other toys who are celebrating. Like, this is very much kind of like a hey, that's great. You all arrived at camp. Like, things will start tomorrow, but you got some downtime. So, you know, like, find a bunk and I don't know, camp stuff. You have a little bit of time between now and when you have to go. Now, an hour isn't a whole lot in real people time, but in weird toy time, it's a fucking age. So you do have a bit of time to futz around here before we take off. We're going to break this up into two phases. What I'd like to do now is deal with the introduction of the three of you to each other as Tony Shalhoub Elf explains all of this. And then after next episode / after our break, we'll deal with what you actually go and do in the North Pole before you have to leave. The three of you listen to Tony Shalhoub Elf. He's charming while also bumbling, but also endearing, but also forceful. He's going to just get a bag of fucking Emmys for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. He should have gotten an Oscar for Men in Black, but, you know, now he's a security elf in a game run by a weirdo in Toronto. So Tony Shalhoub Elf explains all this, and the three of you realize you're all going to the same house alongside some other toys who we'll get into soon. The three of you find yourselves kind of stacked next to each other and have a chance to introduce yourselves. So on that note, party, introduce yourselves to each other.
Well, hello everyone. I'm William Howard Tafty. I'm looking forward to seeing you all gathered around the Christmas tree or in the stocking, and may the best toy win.
I've got my mask on, and I'm just like, can you please like back up, just like at least 6 feet, please? I'm 2020 Barbie.
Yes, of course.
I will say, based on my knowledge of Warhammer, 6 feet in toy terms is probably like an inch.
Okay.
An extra
inch. It's a relative.
He was already like 4 inches away. So he just steps 2 inches
it's
further.
It's probably
away.
6 inches.
Yes. Like a hand span.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So we're all here and it looks like there's a bunch of different toys going to this child's house. One thing I know is I'm the best toy and you guys seem okay. But the one thing I know from deep down in my heart where I see, a man with a mustache and questionable feelings about the Nazis, what I know from him is you've got to take out the competition. And it seems like we've got a lot. So I was thinking maybe we could form an alliance. Isn't that right, Minky?
Minky.
And what about you, Gorfy?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, that's why I need to team up with other people. Would you guys like to team up? We can take out the other toys.
Well,
I'll kill anyone if it means I survive.
Oh, wow. I'm going to keep an eye on
you. Oh, wow. Taft says as well.
Admittedly, there is no doubt in my mind that 2020 Barbie is like every Karen at every Whole Foods who's like, I will fucking murder you so I can buy my asparagus water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should team up right up front. Thoughts?
I agree. Yes. This sounds like a good idea to me.
Yes, let's kill the rest of them together.
Wow, I thought this was going to be a tougher sell.
But you know what? There's one thing the Christmas season has taught us. Nothing is a hard sell at Christmas. And with that, a fateful alliance was made. One that would lead to several deaths and ultimately to a series of betrayals at the foot of the child.
Our Pick Me Trophy Dark Incursion adventure features our GM, Tom McGee, players Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth, and our very special guests, Guy Bradford and Claire Blackwood. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers, at Decapitated Marker, that's MRKR, on Twitter. This show's theme music is Gothic Trip with Thunder Horse by Damiano Baldoni, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram at dumdumdice, or on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you could join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks for listening. Smash that subscribe button and show your love to One Shots. DJ One Shots out of here.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.